Pretty exciting, wasn't it? It's really exciting when you're flying through the air like that. That's what they tell me, because I wouldn't know. I promise you, I'm not built for that. I've had a few too many ice cream stops. I'd like to thank you, Pastor, Church, for allowing us to be here today in the house of the Lord with you and worship with you and share the word. I am Robert Ray. I am the president of the Salvation Riders down in Hillsboro. We're a chapter of the Christian Motorcycle Association. And I tell you that to tell you that I'm the president only because if something goes wrong, I'm the guy that you need to see. When everything goes right, all the glory goes to God. So if something goes wrong, it's my fault, and that's okay. What's cool about today is that our area rep is here, which means he's in charge over me. So anything I say today that's wrong, you can see him. That means it's his fault. No, I'm just messing with you. So it is good to be here today. Public speaking is not my thing, but this is where God takes me outside of my box every day. And so I have tried over the last 7 years to devote everything that I do to God. So here am I. Send me. So here I am. Thank you for having us. Let's go to the Lord for a word, because once I get started, who knows where he's going to take me. I've got about a 10-minute story and about a 5-minute sermon, so we should be out of here by 1 o'clock. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your heavenly name today, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to be your servant, to be in your house today, Lord, to soak in your glory, to take your word, and be able to take that out into the highways and the byways and share that with others, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would light our paths, give us the courage, give us the strength to go down that lighted path and to be who you want us to be and to share with who you want us to share. Put those divine appointments in front of us. Give us the courage to speak up. Give us the courage in a tough situation, in a world who would have you go away, to be your shining light and to share your word and your name, and to share life with a lost and dying world. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the honor for everything the Son said and done here today, Lord. And we ask these things in your precious Son's name. Amen. So, I usually like to take some time and share a little bit about CMA. You saw the videos. Those are great. You can tell there's a lot of statistics and going on with CMA. But our thing is, we're here if you need us. If you need something, you call us. And we personally may not be able to get it done, but we probably know somebody who can help. So, and our mission is saving the world one heart at a time. It's that easy, right? It's easy. Yeah, well, God tells us, or the Bible tells us, that faith without works is dead. Okay? Faith in motion is works, turns into missions. Talked to the pastor. He told me whenever we were talking about coming up here that, we were doing a series on mission work. And I thought, well, this is going to work out great, because mission work is what we do. That's what CMA is all about. But CMA doesn't function without people called to the ministry. CMA can set up here on the hill in Arkansas and be CMA all it wants to be, if there's nobody willing to follow the call of God to go and do. Just like in the church can want to do all this mission work that it wants to do, but if there's nobody willing to follow that call, it's nothing. It's dead. It becomes just another dream. So God calls us into different things. Christian Motorcycle Association is what God called me into. That's where I fit. That's where I feel God wants me to be. I didn't understand all of it in the beginning, but I know when I was a young Christian, and I've got a story that as we get into this, I could tell you about my wife, but I won't, because she's here. And later on, you won't be. However, as young Christians, we hear a lot about mission work. We hear, working in Africa. We hear about water wells. We hear about taking Bibles into countries where God is persecuted, where anybody who has a Bible or caught with a Bible could be put to death. We talk, about going and rebuilding churches and rebuilding, just houses and communities and things. And those are all great. But sometimes we step back as a young Christian and I think, I don't have the resources to do that. God, how can I go to Africa? I'm getting ahead of myself. The Christian Motorcycle Association is that faith put in motion in ministry, which becomes missions, becomes the work. So I could tell you a whole lot of statistics about CMA, and we really would be here till 1 o'clock or later. But I have a personal story I'd like to share with you about what CMA does. About 3 years ago, I got a frantic phone call from a buddy of mine who I grew up with here in Arlington, Texas. Graduated and left here over 30 years ago. I haven't really been back a whole lot since, and the city's changed a whole lot. But he calls me up, and his family, they live in Fort Worth. They have a middle son who was 19 at the time, just left high school a year before, went into the Marines, went through his basic training, did all that, and went out to Hawaii. Okay? He's new in Hawaii. He's at a new base. He's at a new post. I'm sorry, guys, in the Marines. My son was in an army, in the Army, so I don't know what the Marines call their base. I know Air Force is a base, right? Anyway, get myself in trouble. So he's out in Hawaii. He's got a brand new position. He doesn't really know anybody. He doesn't know any people around him. Maybe a couple guys he went to basic with. Of course, as a 19-year-old, we knew everything, right? We were invincible. Well, apparently he got himself a motorcycle, traded it in on a bigger motorcycle. First day out on it, had a terrible wreck. Bike was a lot bigger than what he expected, responded a lot different than what he expected. So my friend calls me because I've been talking to him. He's a Christian family. They're all God-fearing people. His family was here in Arlington or Fort Worth. Thousands of miles away, their son is in a bad accident. Bad accident. So he calls me to pray for him and pray for his family so that they can do what they need to do. I immediately wanted to pick up the phone and I start calling around because CMA, guys, is not here in Arlington, Texas. It's not in Hillsboro, Texas. It's not just in Texas. It's not just in the United States. It is worldwide. Okay? So we have resources spread out all across the world, and we can sometimes be able to pick up the phone and get help where help is needed. So I pick up the phone immediately, look on the website, and go to Hawaii. I don't know one end of Hawaii from the other because I've never been there. I know it's a spot out in the middle of the ocean. That's about all I know about Hawaii, and there's a volcano out there. Okay? That's because I've watched the news in the last 6 months. But I find a chapter. I start making phone calls. Nobody answers. Nobody answers. God, what's going on? What's happening, God? What are we doing? I was able to get a hold of an area rep who's over that area, and he tells me there's no chapters there anymore because of the military base. People come and go so fast that they can't hold a chapter together. I understand that. I'm at my wit's end. I'm calling my buddy back, praying with him on the phone because his wife is in Fort Worth with a younger child who's still in high school. She can't leave. They're taking on two new babies that they're adopting from an abused family. And he's in Florida on business. So he's as far in the U.S. as he can be away from his child that's hurting on the other side of the U.S. I can't get there. I'm in the middle of a business conference. Robert, what do I do? What do we do? We prayed on the phone for several times at hours, sometimes apiece. So my last-ditch effort to try to get some comfort to the family, we had some folks locally who were able to go and be with mom and be with the little sister. And that in itself was a huge help for mom. Someone was able to sit with her, talk with her, touch her, pray with her, feed them until she could get her wits about her to go to her son, which was still going to be a couple of days away. In the middle of the night, I worked for a company that I wasn't supposed to have my cell phone on me, but that night I was running late getting to work and I had it in my pocket, and for good reason. But my phone in the middle of the night was just blowing up in my pocket. I can feel it. Boop, 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 boop. And I think I can't answer this because if I answer it, I'm going to get in trouble. So finally God said, there's a semi-trailer over there. Go inside and look at it. So I did. Well, this is what CMA, understand, this is the whole. This is what we do as a whole. There was a man that lived in North Texas, and I believe it was Gainesville. Isn't that north of here? Okay. He lives in Gainesville, Texas. I don't know him. He's a member of CMA. He's a member of a chapter in CMA up there. He sends me a message on Facebook Messenger because I just blasted it out. I said, Lord, send this message where it needs to go. So, and ask everybody on this network, pray for this family because this is going on. Middle of the night, man's blowing up my phone telling me, where's this kid at? Where's he doing? What's happening? What's going on? I'm in Hawaii on business. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Drops what he's doing, goes to the hospital. He doesn't know the child, the kid. He doesn't know him. The kid doesn't know him. And I call him a kid because, you know, I mean, I've known him. So he's still a kid. He's 19, 21 now. But he was able to go to that hospital and pray and put his hands on him and let him know that his family's trying to get there. But he's there to help to pray for him. And he come back a couple of times before his mother was actually able to get there. Praise God, now he's healed. He's still got some road rash. He's got some battle scars that he's going to be able to tell stories from now on. But those scars are going to continue on the legacy of what one man decided to do and give up whatever he was doing to take the time to go and pray with this young man who was hurting, who was away from his family for the first time. Even though he was invincible, now he's hurting. Now he wants his family by his side. Kind of the way we do sometimes when we get away from God. And we think we can go out and do it, and then we get to become hurting, and now we want God back. Well, that's kind of where he was at. No matter if it's somebody we know, this family happened to be a Christian family. They knew who the Lord was, yet it's still an upsetting time. But with CMA, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a Christian family. If you're hurting and we can help get to you, that's what we want to do. Because that's what the ministry is about. It's about changing the world one heart at a time. He knows who the Lord is. But when he shares his story down the line somewhere, man, this guy I didn't even know came and prayed with me. I don't even know. He was somewhere in Texas. I've never seen him before and never seen him again. But he gave up his time and came and prayed with me because I was hurting. The same way with the mother. The same way with the father. He was able to get out of Florida fast enough before I could get a hold of somebody in Florida to go pray with him. But that's what CMA is in a nutshell. If you're hurting, the world is lost, hurting, dying. Taking the Bible, taking the gospel to the highways and the byways to folks who sometimes may never, ever have crossed the doors of a church somewhere because they wore dirty clothes. They had on leather clothes. They didn't want to bring it in because they're not accepted by society or whatever the case may be. That's what CMA's mission is to go to those folks and show them that they're just as worthy to hear the word of Christ as somebody wearing a business suit. Right? So, in Mark 16:15, he says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations. Missions. It's going out. It's doing. Take the gospel out. Take it to the people who want to hear it, may not know they want to hear it, but they need to hear it. So, what does that mean? What is he telling you? I mean, it sounds pretty cut and dry, right? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Just go. Go get in your car and go. Cars don't float. How do I get to Africa? Like I said, this is sometimes as a young Christian, you hear these things in these other countries and you associate overseas or out of country things as mission work. Well, folks, the mission field doesn't start in Africa. It doesn't start in Russia or Europe or wherever. It starts right outside that door. That's where your mission field starts. I don't know how to be a missionary. How do I do that? Where do I go? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations. Doesn't matter. You may You may know who he is. You may know who God is, but there's always something that we can learn. He's preaching to me right now. I guarantee you he's been preaching to me all week about what's going on. So how do I do it? I can't get to Africa. I can't get to Europe. I don't have a passport. I don't have the means to get a passport. CMA is that, as I said a while ago, is that place for me to work in missions. Maybe one day God will allow me to go overseas and to see some things that I haven't seen. But the work right outside these doors is just as important as the work going on over in Africa. There's people right here. I saw something somewhere, and I may not be wrong, so don't quote me. I may be wrong, so don't quote me on this, but where somewhere places in the United States are becoming a bigger mission field than some of these places overseas. And look at all the churches that we've got. I mean, Arlington's a big place. And I'm in Lake Whitney now, so that's a really small place. But you can turn around and throw a rock in about 360 degrees and just about hit a church anywhere. So per capita, there's a whole bunch of buildings in a little bitty town. There's probably a whole bunch of in this great old big town now too. But I can't go there. But my work is right outside these doors, wherever it is God takes me. I ride a Goldwing, which like some of these you see out here, I didn't have that bike to start with. I prayed for God to send me where he would send me and to give me the means to get there. I didn't have the means, I promise you, at the time to be able to pay for that Goldwing because it was a much bigger bike than I could ever dream to afford. I didn't drive cars that would cost as much as that Goldwing would have cost new, which God provided me a nice used one. But if he wanted me to have it, he was going to let me have it. But we go and we do because I know he can take it away just as easy as he gave it to us. So for the season that we have it, we want to go. So many of our first reactions is the world's too big. I can't do mission work. Well, you can. It's right outside the door. So how do we get there? How do we start doing that? You know, some of us may have been doing it for a while, and it's okay. You can take someone under your wing, and you can take them with you and show them what's going on. Discipleship, right? It's what God wants us to be. The elders of the church disciple the younger members as we come in and so forth, and we just keep going, and we keep growing, and we keep building on God's kingdom. So we come into church on Sunday, Wednesdays, Tuesdays, whatever day it is that you have worship services. We come to church and we cast out our cares. We sing praises to God for what he's done for us. We ask for his protection, his guidance, to get recharged, to get built up. To do what? Go out and go about your day as you normally do? Just go to work, go home, eat, mow the grass, play catch with the kids. Go to bed, get up. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with God, with what God just filled us up with? Are we sharing it with other people? Are you taking it to school with you? Are you taking it to work with you? Are you sharing it with somebody else? It's missions work. It's missions. Sharing your experiences that God has led you to and through inspires people to go through what they're going through. So we come in and we get recharged. There again, we go out. We hit the doors. We hit the doors running. The sun hits us in the face. Are we representing God in everything that we do and say? That's missions. Taking it to the streets. Taking it to work. If you were arrested and accused of being a Christian, would they be able to convict you by your actions, by what you do, by your work? Would they be able to convict you? Would they be able to throw the book at you and say, yep, undeniably, it's mission work. When people drive by the church outside, they see it and they say, that's a church. They go down the street and they drive by another one and they say, that's a church. We want them to be able to look at us and say, that's a Christian. We want them to be able to look at us and say, that's a church. Wait a minute. I'm not a church. I'm not a church. Are you? The church is a solid structure, brick, mortar, wood, whatever it's built out of, built on a rock. But it can't go anywhere. Or can it? The building can't move. It's set in stone right here. It's not moving. How can it go into the community and preach to the community and share the word of God? The building ain't moving. So in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I don't know, he rides a motorcycle, but maybe it's starting to come together a little bit. Are we a church? Can we be the church? You see, the mission field starts when you hit that door. You've come into church. You've listened to God's word. You've listened to the pastor bring the message. The praise team, wonderful job. You've prayed to God. You've said, send me God. Take me where you want me to go. And you hit those doors. The sun hits you in the face. Your light from the sun inside should blind the sun and make it put blinders on. Filled up with the Holy Spirit that says, go away, darkness. Here's God. And live your life in a way that professes Christ. Not in the way we want to live it and talk about it, but in the way he would live his life. So, when we gave ourselves over from sin, God came in and cleaned house. Right? I'm not talking about it, guys. Yeah, guys. I'm not talking about the way you cleaned house when you knew your mother was coming over. No, that was a pretty good house cleaning. But I'm talking about a big old fire hose in the front end of a shotgun shack on full blast. It's just going to clean everything right out the back door. God came in and took all that sin, all that stuff away. He tore it up and he threw it as far as the east from the west to be remembered no more. We're a new creation. We have Christ now living inside us. With Christ now living inside of us, our bodies are now a temple. So the church was built as a temple, as a place to come and receive God's word, to get filled with his Holy Spirit, and now he's in us. Now we walk through those doors where the mission field starts, and we're filled with Christ. So the church goes to the street. You go to be the church. When you hit those doors, you're no longer Robert. You're no longer James. You're no longer Allison. You take Christ with you everywhere you go. Speaking of that, I got another story I could tell you about my wife. But I won't. Because she got Jesus in trouble one day. I'll tell you about it in private when she can't hear. Because later, you won't be there. So, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So once he's got all that old junk out of there, and he's got it destroyed, and he doesn't think about it anymore, it's all gone. It's all gone. He's not going to bring it back up 3 months later and say, you remember when you did that and I pulled you out of that? He's not going to do that. Not going to do that. It's us that brings it back up. We got to let it go and let it be gone. Now, once he's cleared out all that old junk and filled us with the Holy Spirit, then our bodies are temples. Now the church has legs and feet. The church has the ability to move from place to place. Doesn't have to stay right here anymore. So when you leave today, you may not ride a motorcycle, but you do something. You do something. I'm sure that's not proper English, but it works in Texas. You have something that you do. You may play softball. I used to play softball. You may be in a bowling league. You may be on a bicycling team. You may be on a dance team. You may be on something. You do, you have something. Everybody has something they like to do. And it usually involves doing it with someone else. That's your place. That's your opportunity. Because if you enjoy being around the people that you're around, to the point you will call them a brother or a sister, or even if you wouldn't call them a brother and sister, God commands us to love everyone. And so to love that person, you want to be able to share that eternal life with them in whatever it is that you do. And you have that ability, and you don't have to walk in, pull out your Bible, and throw it at them and hit them on the forehead with it. The way you live your life is a bigger example than anything we'll ever say to anybody. Because when they look at you, you want them to say, they're a Christian. Or there's that church. There's the guy, look, this guy loves, or this woman loves God. And they don't treat me differently because I don't necessarily share the same views right now. Because eventually, it will sink in. Our job is not necessarily to pull the harvest. It's to plant the seeds. So that's what we are to do for the mission work. Take it through the doors. Come to Christ. Hear what He's got to tell us. Take it to the doors and go and be the church. The church can't move without the feet, without the body, without the hands, without the head, without the fingers. So find your my encouragement to you today as I get ready to wrap this up is that you would take whatever it is God has blessed you with and use that to go into the streets, go into the neighborhoods, go to the schools, go to work, go to home. Start at home. Go from here, go home, and be the church at home. Men, women, go at home. Be the church to your husband, to your wife, to your children, because from there it will become infectious and it will spread to your work, to your schools, to your outdoor activities. And you become more excited about what God has in your life and what He's given you. So I challenge you, when you go outside the doors, go with God and be the church. If there's one thing we usually do when we do our rallies, and I brought some friends with me today, and they didn't know I was going to ask them to do this. So there again, I may need to go home with someone later. But at our rallies and stuff, when we close, and there's a time of prayer that we would like to have. I don't know if you've got someone who'd like to come and play a. Plays music as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer, but I'm going to ask that some of our folks from CMA that are here with us would come and gather across the front of the stage. There's one thing we like to do is if you would allow us, if you have something that you believe God has for you, way that God can use you to reach someone you work with, someone that you play ball with or bowl with or play darts with, whatever it is, that you let God give you the boldness to step out and begin to share if you haven't done that. It's very fulfilling in your life to be able to do that. There was a time that I couldn't have stood here in front of you and spoke. I couldn't even, in school, I couldn't even read two sentences out of a book in front of the class without being so nervous that I'd have to feel like I wanted to run out the door. But God gives us that ability. The more we surrender to Him, it's easy to say, yeah, tell me where you want me to go and I'll go. And then when it comes time to pull that back and say, yeah, I just don't have the money to do that. If God's calling you to be there, He's going to provide the way. So if you've got someone in your life, I'm going to ask you guys if you would come up and gather across the front of the stage. And if you've got something that you want somebody to pray for you with, then these guys would be happy and love to pray with you about whatever it is. Sometimes it's easier to talk to somebody you don't know, to bring that person and to bring it to them and say, hey, you know, I've got this or I've got that, and I really need somebody to pray for me. And we love to have new prayer partners everywhere, everything that we do. So if you would, just stand with me, and we're going to give, we're going to take a few minutes. And if you've got something you would like to turn to God, would like to have somebody new to pray with you, then please come and share. So these folks would love to pray with you today about whatever it is. We've got men, women, couples, whatever you'd like, whatever, however, if you're more comfortable praying with ladies or ladies, then that's what we're here for. I just thank you so much, God, that you allow us to be able to be here today, Lord. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that has a burden on their heart, whatever it may be, Lord, if they're close to someone who they've really struggled with trying to share Jesus with, and I think we all have that person in our life, Lord, that it's hard to approach, it seems like, Lord. Soften their hearts. Go before them today, Lord, and soften the hearts of those that it is that you would have them to speak to, Lord. Give them the boldness to proclaim your word and to step out in faith and let somebody know, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I do believe in God. And yes, I do believe that there's a certain way I should live my life. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Bless our days. Bless our travels. Bless everyone here today, Lord, and the ones that are unable to be here, for whatever, the ones that are shut in, that are able to not be here, for whatever reason it is that keeps them away, Lord. God, we would just pray that you would remove those blocks and those stumbling blocks for them to be able to come and to seek your face. God, we love you today. We thank you for the opportunities that you've given us. We thank you for every single thing that we have and for those things that we don't have that we thought we just had to, and you've told us no. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only Son to die on a cross on our behalf so that we may have eternal life. So if there's anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus and you'd like to, feel free to come forward. There's someone here who would love to pray with you. And maybe you don't want to step out of your seat. Maybe you just want to slip up your hand and let us know that we can pray for you. If there's any special needs. Oh, Lord, we just love you. Thank you, God. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Bless our travels today, Lord. Bless us as we go our ways. Go back into our homes and our communities. Bless the travel. Give us traveling mercies. Allow us to be seen on the roads. Allow those to see us and allow us to see them. Allow us to always travel and represent you as the light in our life. Again, Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we pray. Amen. Thank you.